Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm really excited to be here today for our Pantry Makeover, our Energy Recharge Program virtual seminar. This is our second one, and these are fun. This is going to be a really fun day. There's not a lot of heavy learning, not a lot of heavy thing material to pay attention to. I would recommend that you take notes. And hopefully you've gotten to download the slides and you can print those out. If you don't, if you didn't, then I would recommend that on our first break you do that. And you also keep track or just keep notes, take notes as we go along. This is going to be a working seminar. This is not just going to be a sit in front of the computer for 6 hours. That would be awful and no fun. We're going to start out. I have a slide presentation to show you some of the things. Then I'm going to give you an activity to work on, and then we're going to come back together and we'll go on to the next piece. After the first two segments, we're going to go into my kitchen where I am going to take you on a tour, and I'm going to kind of share with you my strategies for setting up the pantry, the kitchen, the cabinets, all the herbs and spices and foods in such a way that it makes it really easy to find whatever you're looking for and to stay on top and to make really easy preparation. So I'm hoping that you'll get some work done today so that this is just not going to leave you with a whole lot of work that you're going to have to do afterwards. There will be enough time to do segments. You probably, you know, realistically are not going to get your entire kitchen and pantry made over, especially if you need to go out and get some Lazy Susans or some organizing tools. But you'll see as we go along that this is meant to be a working session to at least get you started. So two resources that you already have on your Energy Recharge Program site are The Vibrant Living, Creating a Healthy Kitchen, and that's right in the very beginning, and the ERC, Essential Oils, Make How to Make Delicious and Nutritious Beverages. I've given you the links directly to get to those in case you don't have those handy, haven't already taken them down or printed them down. You're welcome to do that. Maybe on the first break, if you want to get them printed off, if you don't already have them done, you can do that. And those are great additions, great things to have right there in your kitchen and to have handy as we go through here. And then, like I said, we'll go through the ingredients to avoid, and then we'll give you a working session. And I'll explain this to you in more thoroughly, but basically the working session is going to have you go through your pantry, freezer, cupboards, anywhere where you have products that may have labels. And we're going to look at ingredients to avoid. So this is the Creating a Healthy Kitchen, Creating a Healing Kitchen document. It's about 30, 35 pages long. It's got a lot of resources and references. And I divide the foods that we're going to be looking at into two separate components. One is the produce, the fresh stuff, and the other one is the staples, the things that you can have that you don't have to freshly stock a couple of times a week, that you can have on hand and that are really good to have on hand in order to be able to make really great choices and to be able to throw a meal together in a minute. For example, yesterday, I was really hungry. I'd been to a class all morning, had a meeting, and I need something really quick. So I went into my stash of nuts and seeds, and I'll show you how I organize those. And I grabbed a handful of macadamia nuts, a handful of Brazil nuts, and a handful of cashews. Threw them in the blender. I took a lemon. I always have lemons on hand. I juiced it up. I threw that in there. And then I put in some yummy, yummy spices. I was in the mood for Mexican, so I put in some Mexican seasoning. I put in some habanero pepper. I put in a little bit of salt, a little bit of kelp. I threw it together, and within seconds, I had this wonderful dip. And then I went into the fridge, and I grabbed a couple of red bell peppers, and that was my lunch. I just dipped those into that. Now, because I had everything on hand, because I had the spices. Oh, and you know what else I put in there? Ah, really cool. I put in some cordyceps mushroom powder. So even with your dips, you can start to make these really wonderful healing, adrenal supportive, immune system supportive foods by throwing them in. And I'm going to show you how I've got all of that organized in my kitchen. So it's a great booklet for you to go through because we've given you a lot of links and places that you can buy things, knowing that sometimes the links get out of date. So if we give you a link and it doesn't work, but we've given you the name of the company, you can always Google search and find the things. So the majority of what you eat should be fresh food, should be vegetables and fruits and really wholesome whole foods. But you also need the staples to fill in the gaps. If you just ate fruits and vegetables, you might have a hard time even getting enough calories to maintain your weight. And some of you are thinking that would be very good because then I would drop a lot of weight. And yes, indeed, that would be. But let's start our beginning part with how to avoid certain ingredients. So when you're looking at labels of the stuff that's not fresh, first of all, most of what you eat should have one ingredient on the label. So if you have a package, it should say macadamia nuts or almonds or cashews or a mixture of three or four nuts or something like that. But most of what you eat, you want it to be in the natural form, in the way that it came from nature. But we all have our convenient stuff. And I'm going to show you some of the convenient stuff that I have on my shelves. And we'll look at the labels. And we'll make assessments as to whether some of that stuff should stay or go. And I'll help you help me in that process. So some of the ingredients to avoid, you may already know these. But the first page is all the kinds of oils that we should be avoiding. And when we eat these oils are going to cause damage to our body. Every fat that you eat becomes the fat that you wear. It becomes the cell membrane of all your cells. And those of you who are in the practitioner level program know in depth what that means because we had a whole lecture on how the cell membranes work and how they get affected by the fats you eat and how that affects your health. But the first one you should all know, you probably have been hearing about it for years, hydrogenated oils or partially hydrogenated oils. So any food that you have, if you pick it up off your shelf and it says it has partially hydrogenated soybean oil or hydrogenated vegetable oil, the first thing to do with that package is to throw it in the trash. When we get to the actual clean out, I'm going to give you the option of donating or trashing. But certain things, I believe, you shouldn't even donate. That people that are underprivileged do not need to be eating this stuff either, okay? So don't feel bad that you paid good money for it. Yeah, you did, but you're not wasting it by throwing it away. You're wasting it by eating it. You're hurting yourself by eating it. So anything you find that says it has hydrogenated oil, throw it away. And this may be something innocent that you picked up that said all natural salad dressing. Newman's Own. I don't know what Newman's Own has. It probably does not have hydrogenated oils. But some of them are deceptive labeling. And we're going to go into that later in the day. But hydrogenated oil, you may have picked up a salad dressing. It said all natural, 100% organic. And you go, oh, this sounds good. You didn't read the fine print. So today I want you to open up your pantries and pull out anything in a package, and we're going to read the fine print. And if it says it has hydrogenated oil or partially hydrogenated oil or shortening, which is the same thing, like Crisco, shortening, same thing, I want you to toss it. Other things that are not so good that I personally would toss, but you know, you may want to give it to your neighbor or give it to somebody else. But something called olestra, which is a fake fat, doesn't get absorbed. And when you read the fine print on what olestra does to you, it says, be careful because you may have fecal incontinence. Let me tell you, I don't want to eat a food that can cause fecal incontinence. You know what that means? You're going to poop your pants. It's crazy. But this is what's on the shelves. And there are some health food things that contain this stuff. So read the labels. You can't just trust it because it says all natural, organic, whole foods brand, whatever. Brominated vegetable oil. Again, it's bromine that's been injected into the vegetable oil to preserve it and do whatever it does to it. Not good. It's not good. It's a thyroid inhibitor, actually. So that's one reason to stay away from it. Canola oil. A lot of people think canola oil is a health oil. Canola oil is not a healthy oil. Canola oil is... most of it's GMO, first of all, genetically modified, which makes it like, who knows what the heck your body thinks when it sees something genetically modified. It just goes bonkers. It's not seen this in nature. We're not geared up to handle it. We don't know what the long-term effects are. Maybe it's just fine, but most people in the know, most people who've studied this, don't believe it. And they believe there's already evidence. So canola oil is mostly going to be GMO, even if it's organic canola oil. It's not a healthy oil. It's been heated. It's been processed. There's no such thing as cold pressed. It's usually in a clear glass jar, which means it's been oxidized. The heat and the air and the light get in there and destroy it. And it's not a great oil. So I throw away canola oil. Anything that says vegetable oil, like Wesson oil, just says vegetable oil. We don't know what the heck that came from. Again, it's highly refined, heated up to temperatures above 400 degrees, refined where all the particulate is taken out, so that it's just this clear stuff. We wouldn't put that into your car. Why put it in your body? So check those labels for any of these in there. And any oil that it says in there, it might say safflower oil, soybean oil, whatever. If you have something that has that and it's very low on the totem pole and it says high oleic safflower oil, might be okay. Although if it's a chip and it's been fried, it's not, because it's been heated up to really high temperatures. So go through your pantry and find anything that has this stuff. Now you might be thinking, well, there's other people that live in my house and I may not eat this stuff, but other people do. And that's where you get on touchy ground, because if there are other adults in the house, then you can't just go and throw away their food. But you can separate it and you can note that that's not stuff that you want to eat. And if it's just you and your partner, you can work it out with your partner. That, like, hey, you know, let's just eat good, healthy food. Let's get rid of this stuff and we'll replace it with good stuff in its stead. But if it's you and your kids, you have control. No matter how much they complain, you don't have to give them this stuff. So it's a matter of finding alternatives, and I'm going to show you some alternatives today. And yeah, you might get some flack around the house, and you may get some fighting, but you can do it over time, and you can just take the things away and replace them. Take them away and replace them so they're not feeling so put upon that you've gone crazy and took away all their good food. So the next sheet is more foods to avoid. First one, anything with a benzoate preservative. Take a sip. All right. So BHT, BHA, they're carcinogens. They're endocrine disruptors. They mess up your hormones. Don't eat them. So again, read the labels. They may be buried on the label. They can even be on labels of things that say all natural, because the government regulations on all natural, etc., are just not there. They're just not appropriate. The next thing to avoid. Natural flavor, aka MSG. So we all kind of know that monosodium glutamate is something to avoid. It's an excitatory chemical. It excites the brain. It can cause people to become hyperactive and scattered and unfocused. But sometimes natural flavor is the same thing. It's disguised. Sometimes it's also called, instead of natural flavor, it's called hydrolyzed vegetable protein. It's all the same stuff. So go through your labels, natural flavor, MSG, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, and write that one down because I missed. Oh, no, that one is there. It's at the bottom. Okay, so anything with high fructose corn syrup. Things can say low sugar, no sugar if they have fructose in them, because as long as they don't have sucrose, the government won't come down on them. If it's free of sucrose, they can say sugar-free, even if it has fructose, even if it has high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup will damage your liver. It's very damaging to your liver. It doesn't usually spike the blood sugar, but it's worse because it causes the liver to have problems with the sugar management and the glucagon and all that. So high fructose corn syrup, of course, sucrose, dextrose, maltose, sucralose, which is an artificial one. All of those oses are sugar, right? And even if you're looking at something with organic honey, if you've got blood sugar problems, you want to avoid those too. Some things are fine. Some people are just fine with a little bit of organic honey or maple syrup or something like that. Anything with artificial colors and flavors, those things, again, are neurotoxins. They're also carcinogens. Many of them have been isolated to be carcinogens. So FD&C, red and blue and green and yellow and all those kinds of things. Artificial colors and artificial flavor. Artificial sweeteners. Splenda, aspartame, sucralose. You know, it's interesting. I have picked up supplements, nutritional supplements, or those powdered kind of, you know, supposedly high protein great drink mixes, and found that some of them have aspartame and Splenda and sucralose in them. It's kind of crazy. it's crazy how we're deceived, and if we're not really on it, not really paying attention, it's really hard. And Michaeline says there's lots of different names for MSG. If you go and you Google for MSG, for variants of MSG, you'll find those. Look at your labels. Again, like I said, you know, ideally in an ideal world, we're not having to read labels because we're not buying anything with a label. We're just eating whole foods. But realistically, you know, we want to see if we can get away with some convenience foods. And I'm going to show you how to read labels. And I have some downstairs when we go down there, and you'll be able to see them. So then, and then the last one, natural flavors. Natural flavors can be another name for MSG. And it's sometimes just sitting there on the thing. Sometimes, though, it's just fine. Sometimes it's essential oils. And I really wish the companies that were more conscientious would just label it that way. I've called up a company. It was a very reputable company. I don't remember exactly what the product was, but it said natural flavor. And I said, well, what is your natural flavor? She goes, oh, we do essential oils. Depends on the different flavor. So one might be essential oil of lemon. It might be lime. It might be peppermint. I said, so why didn't you just put that on there? He said, well, we try to do a generic label. So that we don't, it's more cost effective. We don't have to put the actual flavorings on there. But, oh, okay, I felt comfortable with that. But some of it is actually just these flavor enhancers, these monosodium glutamate or hydrolyzed vegetable protein, which is another one. Assignment. Here's what I'd like you to do. We're going to take a short break. We'll take about 15 minutes. And I want you to go to your kitchen. I want you to open your refrigerator, your pantry, anywhere in your kitchen where you keep foods that come in a package. You know, I want you to read the mayonnaise jar, the margarine, and hopefully you don't have mayonnaise or margarine, or the ketchup jar, or if you have jelly, or if you have even sometimes nut butters have things added to them. So I want you to just go through and gather up any products you have that contain these ingredients to avoid. And then I want you to make a decision. D or T, right? Donate or toss. And if you're not sure, just get out a pad of sticky notes and put a D or a T on it, donate or toss, and then just label the things. And if you're not sure, you can always go back later and put them in a different pile without having to go back and, you know, reread everything. You can just look at those ones that you're not sure about. If you have any enemies, you can donate to them. People you don't like, you can donate to those. Or you could just toss them. Okay? So let's take a break.